This is the Pacifica National Board Audit Committee meeting, and the date is October the 1st, 2025. And we're going to go ahead and get started. And thank you to everyone for attending this meeting. And Darlene, can we start out with you doing a roll call?
Sure
Course.
thing. Minerva Sanders.
Press.
Thank you. Donna Carter.
Present.
Evalia Jones.
Present.
Sally Geller.
Present.
Sean McPherson. Well, we expect him momentarily. Additional folks, Stephanie Wells, Executive Director.
Here.
Susan Young, PNB Chair.
Here.
Julie Hewitt, PNB Secretary.
I'm here.
I'm Darlene Pagano, Secretary Pro Tem. All right. Madam Chair, shall I read out the agenda for people listening?
Yes, please.
All right. Going to have to do the time switch. So 9 o'clock Eastern, we call to order and roll call by the secretary. Already did that. Report out from the executive session of 9:25, which will happen next. 9:05 prior meeting draft minutes. 9:20 results of the OPA vote for chair and secretary election. 9:15 reports from the executive director on the charter for this committee, from the PMB chair on ongoing outreach to audit firms, and from the PMB secretary, a report on the history of our audits. 9:45, new business. 9:20, set next meeting date. Excuse me, that would be 9:50, next meeting date. 9:55, adjourn to executive session to discuss legal and personnel matters. 9:50, report out from the executive session, and 10. Folks, I hope you're all adding 30 minutes because I'm not hitting everyone, but 10:15, adjourn. Thank you, Madam Chair. If you can do the report out.
Okay, the report out for the executive session wants to discuss legal and personnel matters and contractual issues.
Thank you. Prior meeting notes, well, they're not here. That's on me. They're not here yet. I apologize. They will be.
Okay.
And I was given the results, as the secretary was sent to me, the results of the OPA vote for chair and secretary election. There were 5 possible voters. 4 voted for positions. 1 chose a no vote. Of the 4 votes that went through, they were all for the chair, Minerva Sanders, and secretary, me, Darlene Pagano. So as of this moment, Madam Chair, I believe we are no longer pro tem, but we are the elected, we have those elected responsibilities for this committee.
All right. Thank you for sharing that, Darlene. And, thank you for joining us, Sean. I can see you. Would you say something so others can know you're back with us?
Something. So others can hear me.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let's see. So we are now at a point, and also let me say, Darlene, thank you that we're now legal. before we were walking around thinking we were legal, but we had missed some key information. So let's go ahead and go on with the agenda as it was provided. So now we're to the part of the...
Apologies, Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
I think the agenda needs to be approved.
You know what? You are so right.
And I apologize. I'm not a member of the committee. I'm just a busybody. And I think also let's note that I think that we have user number one auditing. I think that's Serene Roberts.
Thank you. So, Darlene, can you?
The agenda has been sent to everyone and read out. Is there any objection to this agenda? Hearing no objections or amendments, I'll ask for amendments, then we will operate with this agenda this evening. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, and thank you again. Now, the next order on the agenda is the Executive Director report, the charter for the committee. And I have to ask, does everyone have a copy of the draft charter for the committee? Everyone that's a member of the committee.
It was sent out about or maybe slightly off of 4:30 Pacific today.
Okay, I did not see it. I've been on Zoom calls since then, so.
Okay. Do we want
to give her a minute to find it? It was about between 4 and 4:30, Donna, today. Two items were sent, the charter for the committee and the history of our audits. Both of those were in the same email.
I think the other was something regarding a description for a bookkeeper, if I'm...
Thank you. That was it. The bookkeeper, okay. Not the audit history.
And... Thursday 10-2, that's not us, that's...
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Sally, that would look like between 7 and 7:30.
Right. No, I realize that. Would it have,
and it came
what address would it have come from?
It would have come from me, D. Pagano, KPFA.
Did it go to Sally?
Sally Jane.
Went to Proton Mail. Okay.
Okay. Sally Jane. That's the address I had.
Yep. Yep. Got it.
All right.
Great.
Thank you. Okay. Stephanie, would you please take some time and let's go talk about the charter for the committee, the proposed charter for the committee.
Yeah, thank you. Just a kind of a reminder is that the reason that we have a charter that's written for committees, just kind of in a general purpose, is that it really helps to define a committee's purpose, its authority, its responsibility. It helps prevent confusion as to what the committee is supposed to do. It prevents a duplication of work or an overstepping of boundaries. So what we've tried to put together is basically something that defines the purpose and scope of the committee. It clarifies various roles and authority within the committee, establishes structure, the membership. It sets accountability and expectations, and it also ensures transparency and governance. So it's kind of like a roadmap that tells us and our membership what the committee is supposed to do, again, what authority we have, and how we're expected to function. So what everyone was sent is a draft, and as we hope with drafts, people will take a look at it and If anybody has any questions on it, they can send an email. If they have any suggestions, if there's, you know, a typo or something that we might have overlooked, you know, by all means, please take a look at it. But as it says, it goes through kind of the purpose of the committee, the composition of the committee, the authority of the committee, discusses external audit engagement, regulatory compliance, and also the reporting to the board. So once the committee here reviews it and accepts it, then it can be, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Susan, adopted by the board of directors, and then we'll put a month and year on that. That's all I have.
Okay. Yes, everyone, it just came out to everyone today, so taking a moment to look at it at this time, do any of the committee members have any questions or concerns about what they're reading here? And thank you, Stephanie, for this, because I think when you see the word or you hear the word audit, people expect the committee to do things that are really not within our scope of what the committee's about, because the first question for me was audit. And I'm like, okay, I know a little bit about an audit, but you're not looking for me to do anything here that you would be paying someone, an audit company or an audit group to do. So thank you. I love this.
Great. And really what's very important with the audit committee's responsibility as well is when the management letters come out, and every audit firm provides a management letter to the audit committee to review. And it goes through a scope of things that they've noticed, what can be fixed, things that are good, things that, you know, need improvement. And then I'll be working then with the management, with the audit committee, to be able to create a reply to that. So the audit committee will review that, question me on why some of these discrepancies are happening or what we can do to fix it. I'll write a reply. The audit committee will approve that, and then that will be presented to the audit firm. And then that entire thing is then presented again to the firm, to the audit committee, which then presents it to the board. So.
Okay. So in essence, just in what you just shared, I do not see interactions between the audit committee and the company that would be hired or the group hired to do the audit. It's that we gather their information and then present it to the PNB board.
Correct. The chair of the national board and the chair of the audit committee are usually the ones that are authorized to communicate with management and staff, with the audit committee chair serving as the designated point of contact to access any relevant financial records, reports, personnel information. The national board chair and the chair of the audit committee can communicate with auditors as designated points of contact, as well as the ED as the point of contact between the auditors and the staff. Usually what happens with that as well, the auditors always contact me, and then I email the introduction to the business manager, CFO, and then I'm always, so, you know, I don't have to be that, the just kind of to slow down the process, but I'm always CC'd on everything with the auditors. And then the audit committee, of course, can reach out to anybody that they want.
Okay. And when you just made that term, reach out to anyone that they want, can you be a little bit clearer? Because some people will take that literally. To reach out to whomever they want. And
no, the audit firm, not the audit committee, the audit firm can reach out. If I misspoke, I apologize. Yes.
Yeah.
That rarely happens. I know in the past, the audit firm has reached out to the chair of the finance committee when there were certain questions about certain things. But usually what happens during an audit process is once they finished all of their records, then they go back and, pick selections from each of the divisions, and we have, again, remember, 8 separate divisions that they're all looking at the finances for. They will randomly select invoices, bills that are paid, time cards, whatever it may be that's part of the audit, randomly select 4 or 5 per division, and then they reach out and contact that division and say, right, we need all the paper documentation behind that. So, yeah, so the audit firm can reach out to a station, a business manager, if they feel they need to. Usually whenever that happens, they will again CC me. They handle everything very professionally. They will CC me. They will CC, you know, Markeisha at the, in, you know, and then tell us what they need and who they're going to be reaching out to.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Sally, I see your hand, and also I see Donna's hand. So Sally, we'll start with and Susan. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I did note that, the chair of the audit committee is authorized to communicate with the auditors as the point of contact, which I appreciate. What I was hearing before seemed to leave that out. But I do think, as the members, we'd like to hear more than just before and after. We'd at least like one interim, how's it going kind of communication, and maybe some summaries along the way, just to be aware. Check.
Okay.
You can make that singular. I don't know what everybody else wants. I would like that.
Okay. And so you're looking, Sally, then, as we, deal with the audit group, you're wanting there to be a meeting.
Copies or, one meeting in the middle, maybe. I don't know. Something just, so it's not just a blank slate to, like, what's going on. Because people are going to ask us, I suspect.
Okay. So
a
we
progress
can.
Progress report.
Yeah.
Thank you, Susan. Okay. All right. Let's see. I've got Donna Carter and then Susan. I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm very interested in what this committee does, and I've listened, but I didn't go to accounting school. So I'm wondering if there are some resources for working on this committee. You know, we've talked about some of those things you mentioned, Minerva, which are helpful. But is there some formal way we can get trained, at least on the side here, to function well?
Okay.
I may have some response to that.
All right. Go ahead, Susan. Go ahead.
Sure. For one thing, the charter is really a tool. It's a best practices type tool to give a direction to a committee about what its role is. Let me note that there are several people who can be resource people who've been engaged in audit processes before. So, you know, I'm here in part because I've been the executive director or board chair for about 20 nonprofits and have been involved in many audit processes. I was the chair of the audit committee in 2023. Julie Hewitt has been on the audit committee for many years, and I believe that Darlene Pagano was for at least one. Maybe resource people that we would like to find. I know that Eileen Rosen, for instance, has been an important resource person in the past, and it might be useful for us to have training. One of the organizations that, by the way, thank you, Sally Geller, providing lots of ideas about resources, and one of the organizations does trainings, and so we might seek an actual training for folks. Let me just make a quick clarification. That's what I had my hand up about. For very large organizations with a lot of sophistication on their boards and people on their boards who are selected for their financial capabilities, an audit committee may actually be the entity to which the auditor reports and only to the audit committee with just a brief update to the board. For the organizations that I've been involved with, which are this size or smaller, I want the auditor to not only report to the audit committee, but to actually make its report to the board. And there are important responsibilities that a board has about certain checklists. And so I think it's important for the board as a whole to take responsibility for the audit and also for the management letter, which tells us ways in which, as Stephanie said, we're doing things well or poorly and need to make changes. I am the board chair is the signatory to the audit. The board chair, so for instance, when our auditors called us to say that they had an issue, they contacted me. They also contacted Stephanie as point person for the management staff side of the engagement.
Okay.
Madam Chair, may I offer an answer to Donna as well?
Yes, please, darling.
For Donna and anybody else who might have this question, your library is going to have at least a dozen books and they're on the subject, and YouTube has all kinds of tutorials. What you're looking for is material that has a title somewhere along the lines of how to read or how to understand a financial report. And that'll help you so much when we actually get to see numbers, which will be overwhelming. We have 8 divisions and $10 million in revenue. It will be big.
Okay. Thank you for that information, Darlene. Susan, I see your hand again. Okay.
And also, if I may, it's also very helpful. Yeah. It's great to be able to have a basic understanding of financial statements, again, which you can find. The one thing about an audit is if you've taken a look at any of our past audits that are on Pacifica.org, you can see that there's a lot of narrative that goes with it. And so that really comes into play with people on the committee that can help write narrative, describing a budget or looking to edit and the answers that we have for the management letter. So, you know, we need people that, again, have a basic understanding of being able to read financial statements, but also that can exercise, you know, an oversight and judgment based upon what's told to us in the management letter, and then help edit and make that clear when that gets put on the website.
Okay. Thank you. I've always wondered, you know, when we talk about audit, what is actually taking place? Because, and I know that some of the stations, in terms of the people that gathered their bookkeepers and others that gathered information to be sent to the, staff, you weren't sure what they were looking for, what they needed. So, you know, it's good to have an understanding. So, in other words, we're not coming in to critique what our auditors are doing, but to have a better understanding so we get a picture of what's going on at the different stations and at the PMB location, so we can see how well our stations are doing or if there's something that needs to be changed based on their recommendations to make things move even smoother. And I guess the one thing that comes to my mind is also understanding we do not alienate our auditors. We don't quiz them. We take their information because they're giving us what we provided to them, and they've put it in their language. And, you know, they're asking us, you know, is this correct, or this is what we're showing you're doing? And if there's something different, then someone can bring that up. But we don't spend a meeting going back and forth with them. We accept their expertise because they have the skills in taking care of these items for us. So everyone, take a moment do we want to, I've got the information from Sally where she asked, about, getting, meeting with them and getting progress information about, and in essence, it might be even a very first meeting where they say, this is what we're going to be doing. And this is a time frame that we're looking at. And then, you know, they say, we'll come back in 2 months down the road or 3 months down the road and we'll be able to go back and answer these questions that we have or ask you for more information. But again, we don't take, as far as I'm concerned, I don't see this committee taking the lead in gathering for them what they need. We just are someone that can go and ask and get, you know, with being directed by the executive director, you know, or the PMB chair to help them gather what they need so we can get everything together and be able to meet the time frames that we're being provided to us. And I think it's good that everyone understands when our information is due to the IRS. Some of the groups I've worked with, go ahead. I see a hand. Go ahead, Susan.
Sure, if I may. We do not gather the information. They may alert us if there are difficulties getting it. We have already identified, and one of the items that we're going to be talking about is the, and perhaps it's Stephanie who should be addressing us. The committee was very helpful at the last meeting and said, how can we make a difference? And asked Markeisha, what are the difficulties that you face? And she said, staffing. And, you know, last time that an audit was done, there was a full team of financial managers, 10 people. We now have one, basically. And there was a four-person audit team of professionals who were putting it together. So we have a real resource problem, and a job description for bookkeepers has been sent out, and people on the committee offered to help identify potential, particularly volunteer assistants for that. So those people who are staff assemble the information. We don't. And if we were to get in the middle of that in any way, it would break the independence of the audit effort. Governance should not be involved in gathering the information. Governance receives the report of the auditors. So that's just something I wanted to make clear. But I don't know where on the agenda we have the bookkeeper.
In executive session, Susan.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So at this point right now, we have the draft. And as I said, Sally had asked about getting when we would be able to meet with the auditing group for them to give us some information. And then when would we get a report? And then it was asked about resources. So those are key things that we have down that people can begin to look into so that we can, and if we have people, even we've got people on the committee that can help do the training. I mean, let's use the resources we have to help us be able to just to understand the document that would be given or the things that will be asked of this committee. And let's see. So any other questions? Susan, I see your hand up again. You.
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
I look up, I see your hand. I'm like, okay. So if there aren't any further questions about this draft that we've received, everyone, please take the time to look at it and reach back to the chair, the secretary, or the ED. Just send the emails. And then at our next meeting or whenever we have a meeting, we'll move on with that part of it because this is we're starting, from what I can tell, we're starting everything from scratch. So it's brand new. But we want to be sure everyone understands what they're being asked to do. And then definitely, I keep bringing this up, but NDAs are very important to make sure that we've got them. And we understand it's not, well, I don't want to do it. It's, this is what we need. If we want people to think we want people not to think, but know that we're legitimate and we're trying to do things in order. So that's what's real important here. Let's see. The next was, Susan, I don't see your hand up, but you're next on here with, it says a report, ongoing outreach to audit firms. Could you tell us where we are?
Sure. There, three audit firms have been, recommended to us. One has given us, advice from Julie, who has, served on audit committees a lot, and she was board chair, is that we don't use the names of the audit firms, in open session, that we refer to them. I mean, when we're in communication with them as like ABC, because I think we have seen that when there is communication with and about the auditors, misinformation and harmful misinformation can disrupt the relationship. So I think it's important for us to, you know, observe some protocols along the way. I will mention that there are two firms that have, at least two firms that have done work for us in the past that I think are probably one of our best options if they will, if they'll respond to us because they know us well. There is a firm that responded, but I don't think they have the resources to be able to cover this engagement. There are a number of firms that are listed with the California Professional Services website and Minerva. You sent that to me. Others, I think, have recommended that in the past. So I'm going to look on the websites of those audit firms that are listed on that resource base and see if they seem to be large enough to be able to handle a $10 million organization with 8 divisions. The firm that responded had 3 people, so they just are not of the magnitude to be able to handle that. I also have forwarded to Markeisha and Stephanie from that same website resources for bookkeeping. They may already know all of those resources. But I want to make sure that whenever people send us, you know, like Sally, send in recommendations, that we follow up on them. And we had previously received 2, one from Darlene and one from somebody else at KPFA. So please provide your recommendations.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for Susan at this time from anyone on the committee regarding these search that she's doing for the auditing firm? And thank you, Susan. It's important to know, just as you said, $10 million, you know, it's, and so you can't take 3 people. They would be working day and night and still possibly miss something. Yeah. And, so, I don't see any questions there, so
may
we're going to move.
Comment, Madam.
Yes, you can,
Madam Chair. The other thing is, we're a nonprofit, so we are looking for an audit firm that specializes, that deals in nonprofit. Okay, I ran out of words. I am so sorry.
But nonprofit accounting.
Thank you. So that makes a difference. We have a smaller field to search through. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Darlene, for that insight. And I see a note here in the chat that possibly looking at the last audit as a training tool and reviewing the management letters. I think I've been on the PNB. This is starting my second year, but I've heard it mentioned about the management letters, but we've never had a chance to see them. But I think that is really something good that we could look at. And so that's another item to be added as we pull this all together. And I hate to say this, but it's very true. We are in 2026 going to hold an election, do some other things, and we need to have some of these things in place. So there may be different meetings, and this has nothing to do with the audit that would be going on, but at least so that the committee knows that we have things in place as to, and we're not working on them as we have our meetings, but we have the documentation there that we're going to work with. And it's going to evolve, but at least we have something to start from. Let's see. The other item. Okay. Julie, PMB secretary report or audit history.
Yeah, thanks, Minerva. So, as has been mentioned, I was on the audit committee before and I was on the audit committee for, I think, about four straight years from 2017 to 2021. And one of the things that happened during that period is we had to find an auditor, and we also got caught up, at least as of then, on our audits. But one of the things that I did as part of, you know, just to satisfy my own curiosity, all of our audit information from prior audits is posted on the Pacifica.org website. People can go there and look at audits. And I recognize that people who are listening to the stream can't see what I'm about to do, but the members of the committee have a little spreadsheet that I pulled together where I just pulled up some data about past audits. And so I'm going to show that screen to folks who are here in the meeting and can see the spreadsheet, just to kind of walk you through it. So on the left side of the spreadsheet, I just pulled out some basic information about dates and names of the auditor. And one of the things I did in this column D, I showed the days elapsed between when the audit, the end of the fiscal year and when when the audit was due and the date it was filed. And I put color conditional formatting in there and color coded. And one of the things you can see is that approximately, just sort of eyeballing, about half the time we've been behind on getting our audits done. The sad thing is that most of the time being behind on getting our audits done has been in the recent past, right? And it's most years in the recent past. So there's that. So now I'm going to scroll over here a little bit and show you more of the middle of the screen, where at this graph on the top, the orange line is the allowed days, from the end of the fiscal year to when the audit is due. And then the blue line shows you the actual number of days elapsed. And it, sometimes it's below the orange line and sometimes it's above the orange line. The one thing I'll point out is there's a little break in the line here at FY10, and that's because, that was another situation where, much like I think we intend to do, I mean, we'll see if it actually works out that way, but another situation where we did 2 years' worth of audits at the same time. And so, you know, that just wasn't an easy way to display that. But one of the other things that I did was displayed, you know, there's a bar chart here on the bottom part of the screen that shows how many years different audit firms did our audits, how many years in a row they did our audits. And so, you know, there was a firm, you know, this is going back to, it's everything that's on the website. So it's going back to fiscal year 94. So this is, you know, 30 years worth of data here, approximately, you know, and the first audit firm that, it did audits for 6 years in a row. Then we had a firm for 1 year. Then we had another firm for 7 years. Then we had a different firm for 2 years. Then we went back to the firm that had done our audits for 7 years. We went back to them again for 2 years. Then we had yet another firm for 3 years, another firm for 2 years. And then of course it shows, the last 6 years where our audits were done all at the same firm that was, Rogers and Associates. And so that those are the folks that most people who have been most recently, affiliated with Pacifico would, know about. And just to show you a little more, similar to the bar chart, or I'm sorry, the line chart at the top where I showed when they were due and how many days it took us to get those audits done. There's a line that shows, you know, the blue solid line is the, what happens, if we were doing audits on time, and because it's 30 years worth of data, it shows the deviations in orange, but they don't deviate much from the main line just because, it's 30 years worth of data. So anyway, you know, I just wanted to show people, or, you know, kind of walk you through all of this information that's on this, you know, one page spreadsheet. It's public information. And it, you know, again, you know, people were, I think at one point, partway through our association with Rogers, people thought, hey, that's way too many years to have, you know, the same auditor, and we need to change audit firms. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, it might be a few more years than some of the more recent audits, but it's not more years than some of the past history of the audits. So anyway, you know, and the thing is, we'll be able to update this graph a little bit more once we finish some more audits. So I'll stop sharing, and if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to entertain them.
Okay. Sally, I see your hand.
Yeah. For the public for-profit firms, audit firms often go decades. They change people, apparently, to keep independence. And it's always a red flag when the audit firm changes. It's like, what's up with that? I don't know if that's true in the nonprofit world or not, but check.
So one of the things that is true about looking at these audits and going back in time, it's not always the case that the audit, in, you know, the auditor who led the audit within the firm signs the, you know, audit document. So, our audited financial record. So, it would be difficult, for us to track that without, you know, having email and so on and so forth. And it might be different in the nonprofit world from the for-profit world. I actually don't have any experience with audits in the for-profit world, so I can't really speak to that.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Julie regarding the information she just shared about our audit history? Okay. Hearing none. Thank you, Julie. You did a great job with this, and we do look forward to getting additional information as we go along with this. Let's see, Darlene, anything you want to share?
Nope. I don't mess with Julie's charts.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. All right. So now we have new business. So
we didn't have any brought up when we approved the agenda, Madam Chair.
Right, right. So we'll move on. And we do need to, it talks here about the next meeting date. So that's what we are looking to see, when we as a group would meet again. So is there any suggestions for a next meeting date, or are we looking at waiting. Well, we do have to meet. We need to talk about this charter, what we're going to do and put some other things in place to help us as we go through this. And what we're talking about is not something that would impact what Susan is doing, checking out or talking to different audit firms. She or Stephanie or someone trying to find a firm that will work with us. So what are the thoughts from the members of the committee on meeting again, or do we wait until we have another audit firm to work with?
I would ask Susan what the meetings will be this month for the PNB.
Okay, the PNB has a regularly scheduled meeting tomorrow, and so there will be a report from this committee at that meeting. I think that you all have identified, I mean, the charter is one way to kind of focus what you're learning about and maybe reviewing prior audit might help in the training. And I would suggest that maybe a month from now, people will have had the chance to chew on the charter and also the prior year audit, the FY 2022, the audit done in 2022 for FY 21, mm-hmm. and the management letter associated with that. And that might be a good training for us. I do not know how long it will take us to secure an auditor. We're working very, very hard on that. But I don't know how many choices we will have. So I also suggest that as soon as we have auditors who've put proposals into us, that the committee convene around those.
Okay.
So shall we make a formal audit committee meeting in a month, and I'll help get those materials mm-hmm. out to everybody that we can start mm-hmm. reviewing and getting our questions together and yada yada. So there'll be work for this committee through the month, but shall we choose a month from now to have an actual meeting?
Now, I'm looking at a month from now, and this would be like the first week in November. So I'm seeing November the 5th. Does that, and I don't have the PNB's information to see which other committees might be meeting on that night. Does anyone have this information so we can?
I'll go to KPFTX.
Okay.
And look that far ahead. Talk among yourselves while I do that.
Okay. And also asking the members on the committee, the time for the meeting was to be at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Do we want to stay with the 8:30 time?
That will work for me. I will have had 3 weeks in a row with the Ida B. Wells group. I can do a half an hour that week. And, yep. I mean, it's split the time, right? Everybody gets a little.
Okay. Okay. So is there any objection? Yes.
Madam Chair, at the very beginning of November, there are some station meetings on the 4th, and the national board meeting is on the 6th. So it looks like the 5th is totally open.
Okay. Is there a problem for anyone looking at the date of November 5th to hold our next meeting? And preparing for that meeting.
We'll start getting materials out right now.
Right. And asking individuals when you come. The other thing for me is being part of a committee. I believe that each time we meet, we should accomplish something. Not just meet to say, oh, I just got this report and I didn't have time to look at it. But if we commit to having something together, you know, working on the draft or putting the information together to help us train based on the 2021 audit that was done and presented in 2022, then it would help us. And looking at those management letters.
I'll post the November 5th date on KPFTX tonight, Madam Chair.
Okay. And again, the time, I'm not hearing any objections, so we would say 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, PM Eastern Standard Time.
Got it.
Okay. Let's see here. Now, it looks like is there anything else that we need to discuss in our open session? Because it looks like next we're going to adjourn to executive session. And that would be at 9:55 p.m. or 10 o'clock, whichever works best. I mean, we've only got a few minutes. And if I keep talking, 9:55, we'll be here. So is there any problems with going into executive session at this time?